Hi, everyone. Welcome to our Sunday service. For those I've yet to meet, my name is Mike, and I'm the college pastor at Symphony. And since I primarily do college ministry, that means I don't get many opportunities to meet those who might be new to Symphony. So if that's you, I hope to meet you soon. And hopefully, I can see some of the more familiar faces very soon as well. I want to share a couple family news first. Many of you probably know Pastor Sean and Pastor Doug. They were both pastors at Symphony, but last summer in 2021, we sent them out to be lead pastors at two of our sister churches. Pastor Sean is now the lead pastor of Remnant Westside Church in Manhattan, New York, and Pastor Doug is the lead pastor of GCC Grace Covenant Church in Philly. And both of them have been ordained this weekend. Yesterday, Pastor Sean was ordained, and Pastor Doug is getting ordained today. And so if you know them, please make sure to shoot them a message and congratulate them on their ordination. And just so you know, part of this ordination service is installing them officially as the lead pastor of their respective church. And so, just continue to pray for them and their church. Let's pray that God would continue to anoint them through his Spirit to continue to preach faithfully, to preach the good news, and that they would continue to love and shepherd God's people at Remnant Westside and GCC Philly. The second family news is that Pastor Chan and his wife Riley have welcomed a new member into their family. Their daughter, Zoe Haim Park, was born on Wednesday, October 5th at 11:38 a.m., and she's a healthy 6 pounds and 14 ounces. Praise the Lord. Please congratulate them as well when you get a chance. All right, with all that joyful news, I just feel like I want to just give thanks to God in prayer. And so if you can bow your heads with me, let me just pray a short prayer for us. Father, we thank you for Pastor Sean and Pastor Doug. We thank you for these brothers and for our pastors. And God, that you would continue to anoint them in your Spirit and lead them, God, to shepherd Remnant Westside Church and GCC Philly in your love and in your truth. God, we thank you for your faithfulness over the many years that you have prepared them and equipped them for this day to be ordained. And we just ask, Lord, that you would continue to protect them and lead them in your Spirit. Lord, we also thank you for Pastor Chan and Riley. We thank you for giving them the strength and the perseverance over the past few months. And we thank you for a beautiful, healthy daughter, Zoe. We pray for you to continue to give them strength as they navigate parenthood. And God, we just pray for Zoe that you would continue to grow her in good health. And we do pray, Lord, that one day she would come to know you, Jesus, as her personal Lord and Savior. So God, we thank you for all this great news, and we give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so let's dive into today's message. Last week, Pastor Barry reviewed our 5 core values, which is an acronym called SCOPE. In all that we do at Symphony, we want to be scripture-based, community-oriented, outwardly focused, prayer-driven, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Every fall, we like to dedicate 1 month to one of these letters. And so today, I have the privilege of kicking off a 4-week series on something that has transformed my life, and that is Scripture. More specifically, I want to address the question, why should I read the Bible? Just a heads up, throughout this message, you'll notice 3 words being used interchangeably, and that's Scripture, the Bible, and God's Word. So let's start with a short passage from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let me just pray a short prayer again for us as we go into the message. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your new mercies this morning. Thank you that we can gather like this together in our microchurches, that we can worship together as your people. And we ask, Lord, that you would continue to stir within us a deeper hunger and thirst to know you more through your word. Lord, that we would long and desire to know you more in your word. We thank you, and God, speak to us through your spirit in this message. Amen. There's a marvelous story told of a little girl in France, and she was blind, and she was given a Gospel of Mark in Braille. And she, with her fingers, began to read that gospel and came to know Christ and embraced him as her Savior. And then that gospel became infinitely more precious to her, and she read it and read it and read it and read it until she had developed such calluses on her fingers that they no longer could sense the letters. And in a desire to have the hunger in her heart fulfilled to read it again, she peeled the skin back off her fingertips that she might unbear more sensitive tissue to begin again to feel. In so doing, the doctor said that she damaged the nerves and would never feel again with her fingers. And so brokenhearted, with tears in her eyes, one day she picked up that Braille Bible and put it to her lips as if to kiss it farewell, only to discover that her lips were far more sensitive than her fingers had ever been, and she had spent the rest of her days reading it with her lips. Then sometime later, there was an evangelist, Robert L. Sumner, who wrote in his book about a Scotsman in Kansas City named William McPherson, who was severely injured in an explosion. William's face was badly disfigured, and he lost his eyesight as well as both hands. He was just a new Christian, and one of his greatest disappointments was that he could no longer read the Bible. And then he heard about a lady in England who read Braille with her lips. Hoping to do the same, he sent for some books of the Bible in Braille, and much to his dismay, however, he discovered that the nerve endings in his lips had been destroyed by the explosion. One day, as he brought one of the Braille pages to his lips, his tongue happened to touch a few of the raised characters, and he could feel them. And in a flash, he thought, "I can read the Bible using my tongue." At the time Robert L. Sumner wrote his book, this man, William McPherson, had read through the entire Bible 4 times with his tongue. What an amazing story. A story about 2 people who went to great lengths to read Scripture. For many people, though, it's hard to think of the Bible as being that exciting. For me, I grew up going to church in a Christian family, but the only time I would read the Bible was during Sunday service. So much of the Bible I thought was just boring and old, that it was outdated and irrelevant, and perhaps that's how some of you think of the Bible as well, boring and old and irrelevant. Other people think of the Bible as a rule book, as this long list of rules, things you can't do and things that you can, but be careful still. And many people think, why read the Bible? It's full of contradictions. And I think it's understandable that many are skeptical about reading the Bible these days. And yet, the Bible is the most popular book in the world. It's the most successful literary creation of all time. Every year, over 100 million Bibles are sold or given away. And so it's the bestseller this year. It was the bestseller last year, and it's the bestseller every year. In fact, practically every week, the Bible is the bestseller. The Bible has been translated into over 1,400 languages. Why is that? Well, it's because the Bible is desired by so many people. In Psalm 19, it says that the Bible is more desired than gold, even much fine gold. More precious than gold. That's a big statement about a book, isn't it? In other words, the Bible is more desirable and more valuable than your job salary, your investments, and your retirement savings. And in Matthew 4, Jesus says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." He's saying that the word of God is more important than our daily needs, even food. I don't know how many of you live to eat instead of eat to live, but I am very much more a live to eat person. I'm not a good cook, but I love good food. And I love it when one of our staff members, Dan Jang, cooks for me. But the Word of God is more necessary than Dan's cooking. The Word of God is essential to daily sustenance, where our spiritual hunger is filled and our spiritual thirst is quenched. And so why should you read the Bible? Why is the Bible essential for not only the Christian, but for every human being? Well, I want to share five reasons, five R's to be exact. The first reason is revelation. Many have asked this question, if there's a God, why doesn't he show himself to us? Why doesn't he reveal himself? Well, the answer is, he has. God has revealed himself, first of all, in creation. The fact that we're here, the fact that there's something rather than nothing, the fact that the universe is so amazing and finely tuned, the fact that there is this hunger in every human heart that searches after God, God has revealed himself to us in and through creation. But supremely, God has revealed himself in a person. He's revealed himself to us in the very person of Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate revelation of God. But here's the question: how do we come to know about Jesus? We come to know Jesus through this book. The New Testament, of course, is all about Jesus, but the Old Testament is as well. When you look at it through the greater narrative of God's plan of redemption, the entire Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, points to Jesus. And that's why the Bible is unique, because it's not just a book. It is God's revelation recorded in human language. It's by the very word of God that God reveals who he is to us. It's God making himself known to mankind. According to 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 to 17, the words of Scripture are breathed out by God, or some other translations say that they are God-breathed or inspired by God. And I want to talk a little bit about this divine inspiration, the fact that Scripture was divinely inspired. Divine inspiration implies that God is the source or the origin of what is recorded in Scripture. The Bible is made up of 66 different books written by 40 different human authors in different time periods over the course of 1,600 years. There were kings, poor people, philosophers, fishermen, poets, statesmen, historians, doctors. They wrote different types of literature such as history, poetry, prophecy, letters. And so this book is 100% human authors, but it claims to be 100% inspired by God. How can that be? Well, think of it like this. A building is ultimately the creation of an architect. I was looking up what the largest building in the world is based on volume, but that wasn't that interesting. And so I looked up what was the toughest building to build in all the world. Popular Mechanics came up with a list of the world's top 10 toughest buildings, buildings that can withstand typhoons and tectonic shifts to high wind and extreme gravity loads. They can last more than the test of time. Do you know what the number one toughest building was according to Popular Mechanics? It's Taipei 101. The architect has a design all planned out, but the architect appoints builders to construct the building. These builders have their own ways of putting things together. Maybe they add a little creativity into their specific work, but each of these builders is working towards the same master plan of the architect. In a similar way, God is the architect of the Bible, and each of these human authors were inspired by him through the Holy Spirit to work according to his master plan. And this divine inspiration of Scripture is the very foundation by which we receive a divine revelation. The Holy Spirit breathed forth words of truth and life in and through human authors. And this is why we say that the Bible is the Word of God. You may have wondered, why, after reading scripture, the preacher will often say, "This is the word of God," and then in one voice, the congregation will say, "Thanks be to God." Well, it's because it is by the very word of God that God speaks to us today. And so we give thanks to God and we read God's word because it is through scripture that we receive a revelation of who our God is. Pope Francis once said this, "We do not blindly seek God or wait for him to speak to us first. For God has already spoken and there is nothing further that we need to know which has not been revealed to us. Let us receive the sublime treasure of the revealed word." Second, we read the Bible for the sake of relationship. God doesn't reveal himself just for the sake of revelation, but ultimately for the sake of relationship. You see, the Bible is like a love letter from God. When you get a letter from someone you love, you treasure that letter, not because of the letter in and of itself, because the letter itself is, in a way, nothing. Rather, it's because of the person who wrote it. It's the same with the Bible. If you look at this book as just a book, it is, in and of itself, nothing. It's a book with pages. But we read it, meditate on it, treasure it, because of the one who wrote it. The author of this book wants to be in a relationship with you and with me. He wants to speak to us. And that's why it's so precious. Earlier, I mentioned that I grew up going to church, but found the scriptures to be boring. But something happened during my freshman year of college, and the scriptures became life-giving. I had been wrestling with the purpose of life. I had been chasing after things like grades and girls and money, and I felt like at the end of the day, they were so meaningless. What is the purpose of life if there is no hope beyond this life? So as I was pursuing these things, I realized that instead of it being life-giving, it was life-draining. And yet it's through the scriptures that I received a newfound hope and purpose in life. I went to a retreat and the guest speaker preached from Romans 8, 38 to 39, which says, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." And I remember thinking, wow, there is a hope beyond this life. There is a love that even conquers death. And if that love comes from God through Jesus Christ, then I want to have that everlasting, life-giving relationship with Jesus. I believe the condition of every human soul is one that longs for a lasting, life-giving relationship. And that relationship is found only in Christ. The scriptures point to Jesus, that he is the only way, the truth, and the life. And if we want this relationship, then we are to not only study the scriptures, but to also believe in Jesus. In John 5:39, Jesus said this, "You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me." What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying that this book is all about me, and yet you refuse to come to me to have life. There were people who treasured the book itself more than the author, treasured the book itself more than the one that it was pointing to, Jesus. The words of Scripture are meant to point to Jesus so that we might believe in him and have eternal life with God. And near the end of the Gospel of John, he writes in chapter 20, verse 31, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." We should read scripture because it points us to a life-giving relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Third, we should read the Bible for redirection. I recently came across a clip of Billy Graham preaching on repentance, and I want to summarize what he says. He says, when we believe in Jesus and receive new life with God through Christ, there must be a natural progression of change. A change in direction. That's what repentance is. Turning away from sin and turning to God. A divine redirection. Scripture helps us turn to God each day. The Holy Spirit will speak to us through His Word and will teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It will convict us of sin and lead us on the path of righteousness. Going back to our first passage in 2 Timothy, these two verses were written in a larger context of redirecting people out of godlessness into godliness. Out of godlessness into godliness. The first half of 2 Timothy chapter 3 talks about the rampant godlessness in the last days. And the second half is focused on what it looks like to have a godly life in Christ Jesus. And the Apostle Paul tells Timothy this, that all Scripture is not only God-breathed or God-inspired, but is also profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. We can lean on Scripture to redirect us from godlessness to godliness. Now, I suspect that some people might react to this pretty quickly, thinking, it's a rule book. You said it wasn't a rule book. But now you have these guidelines, all these things that we shouldn't do and things that we should do. If you find yourself thinking this, let me just share two thoughts. First, the truth contained in Scripture is sufficient in all matters of life, including moral behavior. And so if this truth were to disregard aspects of how we live our life, I believe that it would be an incomplete truth. Secondly, we all need guidelines or boundaries in our lives. Let me share a bit of a light example on this. I have a nephew and niece in Plano, Texas, who are now 5 and 7 years old. And whenever Halloween comes up, my sister has a rule that they can only take one piece of candy from each house. But even after getting all the candy, she wouldn't let them eat all the candy at once. Is it bad for my sister to have this rule? I don't think so. Withdrawing candy from her children, that is setting a boundary for their sake, for their health, for their teeth, for their good. My sister doesn't let them eat all the candy because she loves them. She has their best interests at heart. In a similar way, redirection through Scripture is for our good, and it's because our Heavenly Father loves us. And so we read God's word and we heed them because we know that our God loves us and knows what's best. And as we turn to God and heed His word, it sanctifies us, which brings me to the fourth reason, refinement. Refinement. In John 17, Jesus prays to the Father for His disciples, which includes you and me, and He prays, sanctify them in the truth, Lord. Your word is truth. To sanctify something means to wash or cleanse or consecrate. And in Christianity, sanctification is the lifelong process of spiritual maturity. It's the process of becoming more like Jesus, being transformed from the inside out into the likeness of Christ and being made fit for holy purpose. The reason we read Scripture at Sunday services, Monday night prayers, encores, new songs, retreats, family groups, and microchurches is because it is through the faithful teaching and preaching of God's word in the communion of saints that we might become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, as it said in Ephesians 4:13. And to get there, God uses His word to sanctify us into spiritual maturity. Sanctification is the lifelong process of being refined. And God, through His word, purifies us like a silversmith refines silver. I'd assume that most of us who are listening are probably don't have any silversmith background or experience. But here's what I know, the little I know about refining silver. The silversmith puts silver in the fire to cleanse it from all its impurities. And the silversmith will know when the silver has been fully refined. When he takes it out, he looks at it and he sees his face reflected on it. In a similar way, as we are refined in the fire, as we are refined by God's word, we were created to reflect the glory of Christ. It's through the very word of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we are transformed from one degree of glory to another, that we are sanctified in the truth, that we are refined in the fire, reflecting the very face of God. And the fifth reason that we should read the Bible is readiness. What do I mean by readiness? Well, the passage in 2 Timothy 3 continues on to say that all scripture is God-breathed, God-inspired, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God, the woman of God, may be complete, equipped for every good work. The word complete is in part the result of this sanctification process of being refined, but it's actually referring, I think, kind of addition to that, is to a kind of readiness. We become ready for action. The original Greek means that we are ready as if we are prepared to do something. And so what are we to be ready for? To do every good work. In a broad sense, this includes everything that God calls a believer to do, and it also applies to the ways that God might be calling you to live out your life in more specific ways. When we follow Jesus and abide in his word, the Holy Spirit will make us ready, fully equipped for every good work. If you want to be ready to join in on advancing God's kingdom, being an ambassador for Christ, being a minister of reconciliation in all spheres of life, in your workplace, on your campus, in your families, amongst your friends, in your neighborhoods, then we need to read the word and become ready for every good work. So these are five reasons for why I believe we should read the Bible. God reveals himself to us through his word so that we might have a life-giving relationship with God through Christ Jesus, being redirected out of godlessness and into godliness, refined and sanctified in the truth, to be made ready and fully equipped for every good work. Revelation, relationship, redirection, refinement, and readiness. Over the next 3 weeks, we'll be talking about some other aspects of Scripture, but let me just give three ways we can respond. First is, come and see. I don't know where you are in your spiritual journey and where you are in your journey of reading the Bible, but if you have not yet read the Bible and you want to take this first step into coming to know who our God is, receiving a revelation of our God through Jesus Christ, then I want to invite you to read the Bible. Come and see. Just read and see what God has to say for himself. And maybe you're wondering, where do I start? There's no one single answer for that question, but my encouragement would to be to start with the Gospel of Matthew. Start there. Read the New Testament. And then once you get an idea of what the New Testament is about, read the Old Testament and see how the Old Testament is pointing ultimately to Jesus. And then maybe read it again sometime later down the road. But just start with a few verses, a short passage in Matthew, and just continue it day after day. And I really believe that you'll come and see that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is our Savior and our Lord, our King. The second encouragement would to be to join us for our daily devotionals. You can read your Bible and your devotionals on your own, and I think that is essential. We need to develop regular disciplines of solitude in our life with the Lord, reading the Word and meditating on it and praying to our God. But I also recognize that for many of us, reading the Bible can be challenging. There are a lot of things going on in our lives, different circumstances and different situations, different levels of busyness in life, and perhaps you need accountability. You need people to do it with you. And so I want to encourage you to join in on our Symphony Daily Devotionals Monday through Friday. We gather together every morning from 7 to 8 a.m. on Zoom. You can find that Zoom link on our website. But we also have a short devotional recording on our app and our website. And if you're not able to join us for the morning, that's okay. But I want to encourage you to maybe use these devotionals as a way for you to just stay on top of your own devotionals. Maybe you need to ask a friend or someone in your family group or microchurch and ask them to do it with you. If it's been a while since you've done devotionals or quiet times, those are different words for just spending time in the Word. I want to encourage you to maybe ask a brother or a sister in Christ to walk with you through this, to keep you accountable. In college, I used to meet with two brothers every week, and it was our way to keep each other accountable. It was our way to be able to encourage each other when we are going strong and challenging each other when we are falling behind in our times with the Lord. And it was a great partnership in the gospel, but also a brotherhood that I could just really sow into and just grow in Christ-like love and accountability. And so I want to just share this as one way that you can do it, to join us for these daily devotionals. And third, ask the Holy Spirit to increase these five R's in your life: revelation, relationship, redirection, refinement, and readiness. The reality is that none of these are one-time things. God calls us to grow in all of these five things each day, our entire life. This is what sanctification is. We continue to have our spiritual eyes open to be able to see who our God is through Scripture. That's revelation. And it's through that revelation that we are brought into a deep, intimate, life-giving, lasting relationship with God through Christ Jesus. And we continue to wrestle with sin in our life, or perhaps we wrestle with whether we should do X, Y, or Z, and the Holy Spirit will direct us on the path of righteousness. He will direct us out of godlessness into godliness each day. And He's refining us. He's sanctifying us. He's molding us to become more like Jesus. And He's preparing us to be ready for every good work in every sphere of life. Ask the Holy Spirit to increase these five R's in your life. And I really believe that as we do this both individually but also corporately, we'll be living out the call that God gives us as a church to be the salt and light in the city of Boston and in this world. Let's be a people who abide in God's word, who hear the voice of our shepherd each day by hearing His words of truth and life. Let's enter into His presence and meditate on and delight in His word every day. Let's pray.